Just looking at the back, and I see the clock, it's only 11:30. So I have to preach for an hour and a half. It's not right to keep time. So I don't know how I'm going to do it. I had to preach my sermon 2 or 3 times to get that time up. So I need to get that. So don't worry about the clock at the back. Open our Bibles, please, in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 28. The Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 28. And with our Bibles open before us, we want to look to God and we want to ask the Lord to help us to preach the word that He's laid upon our heart. And if you're saved, you pray that God will speak to your heart and bless His word to you also. Loving Father in heaven, we thank You what we've been singing about our blessed Saviour who is alive forevermore. We thank You now, Lord, we can turn to Thy word. We can preach on this great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. We pray for Thy help and we pray for Thy power. We pray, O God, that Thou would write Thy word upon all of the hearts of Your people and meet every one at the point of their need. Bless us now. Lord, close us in with Thyself and defeat everything that would distract us, and let us put our focus, our attention on our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the closing moments of this meeting, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 28 and verse 6, we can find our text. It says, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. A dark spiritual cloud of doubt and fear had now fallen over the hearts of the disciples at Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that they loved and followed for 3 years, was now dead. Now remember, these were men who had given up everything for Jesus. Their employment, their family, their worldly possessions, their homes and their goods, and they had given up everything for Christ, and now He was gone. Could you begin to explain what they felt? All to them was lost. Every hope they had now was gone. Jesus Christ was dead. Some of them had witnessed what had took place upon the cross. They had witnessed the wounds being placed in His body. They had witnessed the spear being plunged up into His side. They had watched His body being taken down from the cross and put into the tomb. And the message all around Jerusalem was very clear. Jesus Christ is dead. Jesus Christ is dead. And that was the message that was preached all around Jerusalem. Jesus is dead. Now could you imagine how they felt? Their heart was broken. And every hope they had, dear friends, was taken away. They had loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They had followed the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their heart. In a sense, they had given up everything to Jesus. But now He's dead. Dear friends, how they felt, I could not explain. Jesus Christ is dead. They were gutted. They were defeated. They were cast down. Their Savior was gone. And so when we come to chapter 28 of this book we read together, there's a different message going to be preached. A message from God. God had His messenger. God had His preacher. It was the angel of the Lord. It tells about these women coming to the sepulchre early in the morning, and what a surprise they got. And what a message they got from this angel, because the angel had a message from them. He is not here. He is risen, as He said. What a different message this was. Jesus is alive. What a message. Different preacher, but from the same source. It was from the lips of God. To two ladies standing at the sepulchre, there they were trembling, there they were, dear friends, heartbroken, and yet there was a message from God that Jesus Christ is alive. He's not here. That message is so true today, this Easter Sunday in this church. If we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, we can feel the force of these words just as much as those ladies. I can say today, standing with God's word and taking these words of the angel, indeed I would say taking these very words of God, He is not here, for He is risen as He said. The same power is still in the words. Different preacher. But dear friends, how true they are, that Jesus is alive. And there are three things I want to say from this message of the angel. I want to speak first of all on the surprising declaration. He is not here. And I want to say on behalf of these ladies and of others that we will see in this first point, these were the last words that these ladies expected to hear. This was a surprising declaration. Here they were coming to the sepulchre and coming to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very last thing these ladies expected to hear was that that the Lord Jesus was gone. They didn't expect that. You can read in Mark 16 and verse 1, it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him." Now here is the ladies coming to the sepulchre. They're coming to the sepulchre, and we can see what they're going to do. They are planning to come into the sepulchre and anoint the body of Christ. So then when they come to the tomb, there's only one thing's going to happen. The Lord Jesus is going to be in the tomb. And because they said in Mark 16 verse 3, "Who shall roll us away the stone?" They had a problem. They said, "Well, how are we going to get in? Well, we've got up early, and we've got the spices, and we're going to go to the sepulchre. And how are we going to get into the sepulchre?" And this was all in their thoughts and in their mind and in their plans. And dear friends, I can say on behalf of these ladies, this was a surprising declaration. He is not here. This was the last words that these ladies ever expected to hear. That the Lord Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. This was the last words. This is the place they saw him laid. They would have said, "He's got to be here. We saw him being taken down from the cross. We saw him being laid in the tomb. He has got to be here." In fact, we can read in other passages of Mary Magdalene, they have come unto Simon Peter and said, "They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him." And when she was facing the gardener, she said, If thou hast borne him, tell us where thou hast laid him." They never expected to hear that Christ was not in the tomb. They didn't expect to hear this. He is not here. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Have a look in yourself. It surprised the saints. You may say, "Well, that's only two old, foolish ladies." It surprised the disciples as well. Because, dear friends, in Mark 16 and verse 11, it says, "And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not." And when this woman went in and told her disciples that the Lord Jesus, he's not in the tomb. Dear friends, no better news could have come to their hearts. But they didn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. They were as surprised at these ladies, at this message. That Christ is not there. He's not in the tomb. The stone's been rolled away and the Lord Jesus is taken out of it. And so it surprised the saints. Nobody expected to hear this news that he's not here. The saints did. Surprised. It surprised, can I say, the soldiers. Because it tells us there about the soldiers around the tomb in Matthew 27, verse 63 and 66. How they set a seal to this tomb. How they sat outside, they had, perhaps we would say, one of the easiest jobs there was going. Guarding a dead body in a tomb. And getting well paid for it. There's no chance. And dear friends, could you imagine the shock it was for them? When the angel of the Lord came down in verse 2 and rolled away the stone, it says in verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, it surprised the soldiers. When the soldiers were confronted with this, dear friends, they were surprised. The grave was secure. They had it surrounded. It was impossible. It was impossible for the Lord Jesus to come out of this tomb. And yet, it surprised them. The tomb is empty. He is not here, you see. In Acts chapter 5, it tells about the apostles put into a prison. It tells about the guards. It tells about the angel of the Lord coming and letting them out. And what a surprise they got when they went into the prison to get them out. And the people were surprised. They opened up the door and the apostles weren't in it. But they were living. What a surprise the soldiers got, dear friends, when they saw in this tomb the Lord wasn't there. He was dead. You see, it surprised the soldiers. It surprised the sinners as well, because in verse 11 to verse 13, it talks about the chief priests and the elders. But they went and told them. And they told them what had taken place. Could you imagine the shock on these men who hated Christ, who detested him, who blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ, who persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ, who rejoiced over the death of Christ? But now they were told, he's not here. Could you imagine the shock that gripped the heart of these old sinners who hated Christ? These soldiers coming, running into their presence, bringing with them this news of the angel, this message from God. He's not here. But they were staggered. They were stunned at what they had heard. And they set about telling lies and say, well, the disciples came and stole away his body, and we'll give you money and we'll cover you. They were surprised as well. They were surprised. I believe it surprised Satan as well. He thought at last he could rid of the body of Christ. In Luke 22 and verse 3, then enters Satan into Judas. And the Judas, the professor, the false professor, the hypocrite. Then enters Satan into Judas to do all the dirty work and all the lies and all the schemes to betray Christ, to get him killed. It's a praise Satan as well. He is not here. And this is the message of Christianity today. Maybe there's someone that's meeting and you're surprised. He's not here. He's not here. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. As it says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And I can say today, we could take the atheist. And there may be some in the congregation. I hope there's not, of course. But we can take the atheist. The fool that says in his heart, you know, there is no God. I can take the atheist by the hand and we can say, have a look into this tomb. He's not here. I can take a blasphemer. The one who blasphemes Christ. The doubter. Listen, friends. He's not here. You can go to other graves of people. False prophets. So-called men of God, and you can look at their graves and their bones is in there. They're in the grave. But our dear friends, it is not so of Christ. This is a surprising declaration. He is not here. And we have noticed about five different people who were surprised at this message. Are you surprised? This is the message of the Bible. This is the message, dear friends, of Christianity. This is the message of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. He's not here. But can I say secondly, you have the Saviour's exaltation. It says, see, he is not here. Listen, he is risen. He is risen, you see. Not only does the angel pronounce that the tomb is empty, but he tells a reason why it is empty. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. This is what he's saying. He's alive. The tomb is empty, and Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. This is what he's saying. The Savior's exaltation. He is risen. This truth dispels the lies of the scribes and Pharisees. You read about that in Matthew 28 and verse 13. They all got together, and that's what the ungodly do. They all get together and they lie against Christ. And they deny the teachings of the Bible. And they all got together and they say, well, we'll tell them that you were sleeping. And the disciples came and the disciples stole away his body at night and so on. Lost yourself. If the soldiers were sleeping, how did they know the disciples took him? How did they know that they were sleeping? The disciples were too afraid to do this. They had fled. They have forsaken the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. No, dear friends, the truth of the matter was this. He is risen. The Savior's exaltation. He is risen. And this was done, can I say, by divine action. You see, it says in Acts chapter 13 about the resurrection of Christ. In Acts 13 and in the verse 29 to 30, it says, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from a tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But here's what it says. But God raised him from the dead. And that is clear to every one of us. It tells us what they did with Christ. They took him, dear friends, down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But then it says immediately, but God raised him, dear friends, from the dead. Man placed him in the grave, but God took him out of it. And the passage shows how this happened. It tells us about a great earthquake. Could you imagine the shock it must have been for everyone gathered around the sepulchre on that day? This great earthquake, it shook, the stone was rolled away. And the Father, in his love, he rescued his beloved Son from the grave of corruption. But God raised him from the dead, you see. This was a divine action. He was taken out, dear friends, by the hand of God. He was taken out of it. Indeed, in the deity of Christ is seen in his resurrection. He said in John 10 and verse 18, speaking about his life, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power, listen, to take it again. This commandment have I seen of my received of my Father. And so the Lord Jesus played a part in his resurrection as well. And so he is risen. Jesus is alive. This was the message that fell from the lips of this angel to these ladies. Jesus Christ is alive. And we see his divine action. God raised him. God took Christ out of the tomb, friends. He's alive. This is seen not only in divine action, but in different appearances. You see, this was very bold message that fell from the lips of the angel. He is risen. And no doubt, as we know, these words are true. They are true. But when the disciples heard these words, they didn't believe it. In Mark 16, verse 11, it says, and they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. They didn't believe it. And so when we come to this great message that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, there were the different appearances of Christ. About 10 times the Lord Jesus Christ's appearances are recorded here in the Bible. You can see in verse 9 of this chapter we read together, where he appeared to the ladies, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And here he is, appearing to these ladies. The ladies who came to the sepulchre. The ladies who came to this tomb, and there they are making this journey, and suddenly there's someone standing before them. And who is it? It's the Lord Jesus. And they saw he is alive. They saw it, friends. He is alive. He is risen. At the end of this chapter, in verse 16 and verse 17, it says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. But here again is Christ. He's risen. Here he's appearing to his disciples. The disciples who loved him. And the disciples who had followed him. And the disciples who were mourning and oppressed. Now, you see, something very true. Jesus Christ is alive. He appears on to the disciples. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus who were walking and who were sad, you see. And their hearts were broken and every hope was taken away. Dear friends, they saw something that day that changed them. That changed them completely. They saw Jesus Christ as alive. The hearts burnt within them. As the Lord Jesus walked by their side, and as the Lord Jesus spoke to them, they saw that this great truth that came from the lips of this angel, he is risen, he is alive. And you can go through the different appearances. He appeared to Simon. It's not recorded just where that was. But dear friends, what a meeting that must have been. Peter had failed the Lord Jesus Christ. He had forsook the Lord Jesus. He had denied that he ever knew the Lord Jesus. But we find in the Bible he appeared to Peter. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to Simon. He appeared to the 12 disciples in some room in John chapter 20 and verse 19. He appeared on the seashore. One day they're out in the boat and there they looked on the seashore. And listen, there was one on the seashore. And who was it? They looked and they saw it was the Lord. And Peter, he jumped out of that boat and he started to swim to shore. His heart was burning within him. Why was this? He saw Jesus Christ as alive. He saw he is risen. And we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You will read the Apostle Paul speaking about this great truth. Listen, that he is risen. But he was buried in verse 4, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and after he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. Now, where that took place, I don't know. But the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to over 500 people at one time. It tells us how he appeared to him and appeared to James. He went on to speak of that. But here, dear friends, is the great truth, you see. The Saviour's exaltation. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive, you see. And they saw him with their own eyes. They spoke to him. They ate with him. And they saw this great truth. He is risen. You know, some people have said to me in my door-to-door work, they would say, well, nobody ever came back from the dead. Nobody ever came back to tell us if all of this is true at all. But listen, that's not true at all. Read the Bible. Many people came back from the dead. But listen, the Lord Jesus came back. Over 500 witnesses saw him at one time. 500. Look at the difference in the lives and the ministries of the disciples after they saw he was alive. It says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, and with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now look at how they exercised this ministry. They went out and they preached. And what did they preach? They preached Jesus is alive. He's alive. And where did they do this? In Jerusalem. In the very place where he was healed. In the very place where the Lord Jesus Christ was put to death. And here we find these weak and feeble, as some people would say, foolish fishermen. Here we find them going out onto the street, and they're giving great witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
hear them preaching the message throughout the streets of Jerusalem. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. What a different message it was to the one a few days earlier. What a different message, friend, it is. As I said in our introduction, there was one message going round the streets. It was the main news of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is dead. That was the message. That was the message, no doubt, that many loved to hear on that day. But, oh dear friends, in a few days' time, the message had changed. Jesus is alive. That's the message. He is risen. And I want to say to you today, child of God, and it's a very basic, simple lesson. Jesus is alive. He's alive. I think, remember that. That's simple. Sometimes we live our lives as if he's not alive. Sometimes we come to the house of God as if he's dead. But the great message of the Bible, and the great message that we preach at this time of the year, that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, and there's hope, hope for all of us, no matter what happens. Look at the disciples before this, how the old disciples were cast down, depressed and defeated, until this truth gripped their heart, friends, that Christ is alive. They were changed. He's alive. They're like being born again. They were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And they were filled with great boldness, you see. Are you cast down today? Are you saddened? Are you depressed about circumstances? Think of the disciples. How dark the circumstances was for them beforehand. How fearful they were. How cast down they were. But all friends, when this truth gripped their heart, Jesus is alive, they were changed. Listen, you have a living Savior. He's not here. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive forevermore. Dear friends, the appearance of Christ showed that. So we reject all the lies that go against the resurrection. The devil is a liar and the father of it. And he lies all the time. Everything against God. Many people believe the lie of the devil. They say, and the lie about that Christ was stolen from the grave. We reject that. We reject the theology that Christ was not really dead. Some people come up with that lie. When placed in the hands of Nicodemus and Joseph, they nursed him back to life. And that's another lie that's out after the resurrection of Christ. Tell me, would the disciples went out and preached with boldness if that had happened? We reject the doctrine that the Lord Jesus, he only arose spiritually. That's what the Jehovah's Witness would come to our doors. And that's the message that they preach. Spiritually, he arose. But Luke 24 verse 39 makes it plain. He says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." That is very clear. He is saying to his disciples, "I am not a spirit, but handle me and see." Flesh and bones stood before them, Christ. Jesus is alive. I'm glad I preach that message. I'm glad, friend, this fills my heart today with hope. Because Christ lives, we shall live also. He's alive forevermore. He's alive forevermore. His direct ascension and his exaltation in Acts chapter 2, verse 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God," listen, "exalted." You know what God did? God the Father took his Son, dear friends, out of that grave. And he sat him on the highest throne of glory. Right from the grave, dear friends, to glory. And Christ is enthroned upon the throne of heaven. And he's Lord of lords and he's King of kings. That's where he is. Jesus is exalted. and he's alive and he's king. And he sits at the right hand, dear friends, according to the Bible, of the throne of God.
He is alive and he is king forevermore. Exalted, high above all, is my Saviour. Above all, him says, enthroned is Jesus now upon his heavenly seat. The heavenly crown is on his brow. The saints are at his feet. Listen, friends, he is risen. He is risen. The Saviour's exaltation. He is risen from the dead, and he's Lord of lords, and he's King of kings.
And one day everybody in this world will see that. One day everybody in this meeting will see that Jesus Christ is Lord. According to the Bible, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you'll see what I'm saying is true. And I hope you'll not see that as a sinner. I hope you'll see it along with me and the other saints of God as your Savior and Lord. But how terrible for anybody to come to church, to this church or any other church that preaches the whole counsel of God and preaches the way of salvation. How sad for you to reject the gospel of Christ and then to see that someday it's all true. Jesus Christ is alive. He's King of kings. And every one of us one day will bow before him. Everyone in this meeting will bow the knee someday. Bow today if you're not saved and trust him. Listen, he's alive. I hope if you have any doubts and fears in your hearts or troubles, child of God, in this meeting before you come in, that they're all gone. We have a risen Saviour. He's alive. He's in glory. He's praying for you. He's preparing a place for you. According to his promise, he's coming for you. He's alive forevermore. That's the message. That's the message from the Bible. That's the message at this time of the year, dear friends. He's not in the grave. He's in glory. He's in glory. Could I say lastly about the Scripture's confirmation? Because it says, he is not here, for he is risen. Listen, as he said. As he said. The angel had a great message to preach in that day. 3-point sermon he preached. He spoke about the Scripture's confirmation, as he said. Now, Christ had said. The disciples did not fully see the truth. We have to say that. But he did tell them. And he says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39, when they came seeking a sign, the Pharisees, he says, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For if Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And he takes him to Jonah the whale, down in the whale's belly for 3 days and for 3 nights. But what is the Lord Jesus here predicting? What is he, dear friends, prophesying? That he'll come out from the death. But he'll come up from the grave. And then he told him in Mark chapter 14, verse 28, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. He told the disciples. He had said this. Now listen, what a deceiver the Lord Jesus would have been if he had not arisen from the dead. Christianity would not be able to stand. Let me say that again. We would have no hope. The great foundation stone is the resurrection, friends, of our faith. If Christ did not arise, if the Lord Jesus Christ was still in the grave, then Christianity would not be able to stand. They would say Christ has lied. They would say he's still in the tomb. They would say, dear friends, he never kept his word. But oh, we have the Scripture's confirmation. As he said he would arise from the dead. And friends, he did arise. He is alive.
And listen, there's another lesson just in that little phrase. We can trust His word. Whatever He says, He will fulfill. And that has always been the case with God. For the promises and everything that He says, He'll always do it. He said He would arise, He did. And child of God, think of the many promises there is in this book for you and I. Then He said to you and I, if we trust Christ, all our sins will be taken away. He has kept that promise. He has promised us in His word He will give us everlasting life. He'll keep that promise. He has promised in His word He will take us home to heaven. And one day He will appear and take us home to heaven. We can trust this book. You can't trust your feelings. Your feelings are up and down. One day we're up, the next day, friends, we're depressed, we're cast down. But you can always trust what Christ has said. And the angel emphasized this to these disciples, these weak and wounded disciples, heartbroken disciples. He says, Jesus Christ, He has risen from the dead, as He said. And friends, when the Lord Jesus has said it to us, He will complete it. Everything that He has said, He will do. We can rejoice in this. This message at this time of the year of our blessed Savior. He is alive. He is alive forevermore, and He will keep all His promises to me. And one day we'll look upon His face and we'll tell the story saved by grace. He is alive. Rejoice, child of God. If you're not saved, we would ask you today to seriously consider what you've heard and come to Christ by faith and turn away from your sins before it's too late, to find yourself lost and lost forever, cast down into the bottom of hell. And dear friends, if you touch by faith a living Savior, you'll be alive. He will save you. He will cleanse you from all of your sins. And He will give you everlasting life. May God give you the grace to come to Him. Repent from your sin and trust Him. But oh, child of God, rejoice. He is not here. He is risen, as He said. May God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's close in a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the message that the Lord Jesus is alive. Lord, we thank You we have a living Savior who's in the world today. We thank You, Lord, that one day He's coming even back to take us home to glory. And one day we shall look upon the face of our blessed Savior. He has said, because I live, you shall live also. We thank You we have got everlasting life. And one day we will live in Emmanuel's land. We pray for those who's not saved, that Thou would touch their hearts, that they will by Thy grace repent from their sin and trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Be with us now, Father, and take us our Sabbath ways, to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.